This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.
You may examine them when you're ready, Ms. Fulford.
Thank you, Joe. Ms. Adelson, at the commencement of the hearing on the motion to suppress, you said your name for the record, Donna Adelson. Can you tell the court how many times prior to your arrest for the charges that are pending in this case have you been arrested for criminal offenses?
Never.
And how long have you been incarcerated at the Leon County Detention Facility? Do you recall?
15 and a half months, 470 days.
And within that period of time, the 470 days, have you been held in the same location in the Leon County Detention Facility or different locations?
Different locations.
Okay, and your first location was where?
First location was in solitary confinement on a direct observation unit.
Do you know how long you were there?
50 days.
Okay. And where did you go following solitary?
To the N pod, like N is in November. It's an open pod, general population.
What does that mean, open pod, general population?
So I was with 60-some-odd other inmates, all in one open area.
And you had beds in your room, I assume?
There were each section, sections off about 10 women. So, and there'd be a cement wall, and then there'd be another 10 women and a cement wall. So it was fairly quiet, actually, even with that many women, because we were separated in small groups, so it wasn't that loud.
Okay, and do you recall when you were taken out of the in like Nancy pod?
Yes, in August, they said they had maintenance to do and that we would be moved to the annex, which is a building outside of the jail.
Okay, and so I'm not going to be specific as to dates, but you're arrested in November of 2023 in solitary confinement for 50 days to whatever date that took you to.
January 9th.
Okay. And then from January 9th all the way through some date in August of 2024.
Correct.
You were in the N like Nancy pod. And then you said you were transferred to the annex. Can you describe the conditions inside the annex, please?
So the annex is kind of a temporary type building. It's not a brick building. It's kind of like a temporary building, and it's and there are 66 women, all in bunk beds, all open. They're kind of one on top of the next. There's no separation at all.
So one big open room.
One big open room with 66 beds. Yes.
Okay. And how long did you stay? So from August of 2024 until when? How long did you stay in the annex?
I was moved again on February 3rd, 2025.
Okay. Okay, and you were here when the gentleman was testifying about the call buttons to alert someone if you're having a medical emergency. Was there one of those in the N pod?
No.
Was there one in the annex?
No.
I'd like to start the motion for a bond that we filed in this case. As the court indicated earlier, one of the issues that we have raised are medical conditions that you're facing. So I'd like to start with your medical conditions and present some testimony to the court about those, okay?
Okay.
Okay. We're not going to go over every medical condition you've had since you've been incarcerated in the jail, but I'd like to start with one that you have that's causing you some pain in your leg and back area.
Yes.
Okay. Let me just start with this. Can you describe to the court the kind of pain and discomfort that you're having with this particular injury or issue?
Yeah, it's I know what it is because I've had it in the past. It's sciatic pain, and I get like a pulling kind of shooting pain down my legs.
Okay. Yep. And you said you've had it in the past. You mean prior to becoming incarcerated
yes.
at Leon County Jail?
Yes.
Okay. And during the course of time before you were incarcerated at the Leon County Jail, did you seek treatment for that condition?
Yes, I did.
And what type of treatment did you obtain for that?
So I saw my orthopedist, And he gave me a steroid injection in my spine.
Okay. How long were you suffering from the sciatic condition prior to becoming incarcerated?
How long the last episode?
Before you were incarcerated in jail, for how many years had you been suffering with the sciatic issue?
So, no, I had it last about 10 years ago. I haven't had it all this time.
Okay.
But then it recurred a few months ago.
Okay. And what was the treatment that you were provided prior to your incarceration for your sciatic condition?
It was the steroid injection, and within 48 hours, it was gone. The pain was gone. It was amazing.
And where did they do the steroid injection? Where is that in your body?
In my spine.
In your spine. Okay. Is that outpatient procedure, inpatient?
Yes, outpatient.
Outpatient. Okay. All right. And during the course of time that you've been in the Lingon County Jail, did you start to experience the sciatic pain again?
Yes, it did.
And what did you do when you started to experience that pain?
I wrote a sick call, and I went to see the doctor.
Okay. Where do you get these sick call forms from?
From the nurse.
Okay. And when do you have the opportunity to see a nurse to get the sick call forms?
Well, they come twice a day. They come in the morning, and they come in the evening.
Okay. And we'll get to what those times are at a later a point. But if you don't get a form from a nurse, is there another way to obtain it that you're aware of?
No, that's the only way I've ever gotten it is from a nurse.
Okay. Do you recall approximately how far into your incarceration you started having the sciatic issues again?
I didn't have it until I was in the annex. So that was sometime over the last, I've been there 6 months. I don't remember the specific date, but I didn't have it before the annex.
Okay. And once you started experiencing it in the annex, did you complete a form to see medical attention?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And as a result of completing that form, did you have an opportunity to meet with someone in the medical center at the Lyon County Jail?
I saw the doctor there,
yes. And what happened?
And I explained what I had, and she said, we do not treat that type of problem. We could offer you some Tylenol.
And did they provide you with Tylenol?
They did.
And has that relieved you of the pain that you suffer?
No, it's Tylenol. It's not gonna do what I need to have done. No.
Okay. So sometime since you've been in the annex, you made your first request for treatment for the sciatic issue. Have you requested treatment more than once?
Yes.
Okay. And have you received any additional opportunities to meet with any of the medical staff regarding this pain?
No.
Okay. What happens when you request treatment and you don't get to see them? Do they tell you that you're not going to be allowed to see them again? What
no.
happens?
I usually wait a week, and if I don't hear anything, then I'll write another one, and I'll write, this is a second request or this is a third request. And then I think I got an answer. They sometimes just answer it and give it to the pod officer, and she'll hand out papers at night, which is the response to your requests. And on that one, they said, you're already getting pain medication for this. That was the Tylenol.
And the pain medication is just regular Tylenol?
Regular Tylenol.
Okay. At some point, did you have an opportunity to speak to someone in medical care regarding a potential way to resolve some of the pressure in your leg for use of a medical mattress?
Yes. While I was down with the doctor during one visit, she said, you know what might be helpful, because you're sleeping on metal and the mattress is maybe a half inch thick, maybe. She said, what would help is if I could get a medical mattress for you. I had never heard that term before, but I said, okay, if you think it'll help, that would be great. And she left the room, she went into another room, and then she came back in and said, yeah, I thought that would be a good idea, but they don't have it here. So my best thoughts for you would be to get a second mattress, so it'll thicken it a little bit, and that might give you some relief at night.
Okay. And did you obtain a second mattress?
I did.
And this was while you were in the annex?
While I was in the annex.
How did you get the additional mattress?
So the pod officer asked one of the inmates to go where they have extra mattresses. They have piles of 20, 30 mattresses there, to go get one of the extra mattresses and put it on my bed so that I had the extra mattress.
Okay. And during the time that you were allowed to have the additional mattress, did you get any relief?
Yes, at night, because I used to get the pains even if I was just lying down. And that definitely relieved some of the pain at night, so that was good.
Okay. And at some point, did they take the additional mattress away?
Yes. So on February 3rd, I was moved out of the annex to protective custody in the main jail building. And since I've been there, the officer removed the second mattress.
Okay.
She said, "Why do you have this?" And I told her why. And she said, "Well, you can't have this."
Okay. And
so they took it away.
Okay. And since the additional mattress has been taken away, have you started to experience worsened pain?
Yeah, it's worse.
Okay. And have you requested any medical treatment for that?
Well, I spoke to the doctor. I don't remember the date. Shortly after it was taken away, I was down for a different reason, and she said, "Yeah, I thought it was a good idea, but if you can't have it, you can't have it."
Okay. All right. Now, the relief that you got when you were able to have the additional mattress, did that completely take away the pain?
No.
Okay.
No.
And do you experience this pain when you're walking, sitting? What?
So at the beginning, I was just getting it when I was walking. So it limited the amount of walking I could do, but I get it when I'm sitting. I get it lying down. I get it all the time now. So it's not like I have it all the time. It comes and goes, but when it just comes, I could be sitting, I could be standing. It just happens.
Okay. We're going to go into more details about how it took place in a few more minutes, but for now I'd like to talk about, are there any other areas that you are experiencing any pain?
Yes, I have. I have a problem with my left arm.
And what, describe to the court what that problem is, what you're feeling, what you're experiencing.
Okay, so I have like shooting pain from the top here of my shoulder down the outside of my arm into my forearm.
Okay, and you're pointing to your left arm. Is that the one you're referring to?
It's my left arm.
Okay. And so shooting pain down the arm, anything into your hands?
Yeah. It's, the pain is like, it's like hot. It's like a burning pain. And my thumb, index, and middle finger have gotten like tingling. It almost feels like ants are crawling on them. It's like a numbness of those fingers.
Okay. And is this pain that you were experiencing prior to your incarceration at Leon County Jail?
No.
Okay. About when did this pain begin?
So I was assaulted by another inmate while I was here at the beginning of October.
October 2024?
Yes.
And when you say here, do you mean the Leon County Jail?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Since you began experiencing that pain, since October of 2024, have you requested medical treatment?
Yes.
And what has the response been?
They said they would take an X-ray, but in the meantime, I could have Tylenol.
Okay. And you said that was in approximately October of 2024. Have you been requesting treatment for that pain since October of 2024?
Several times.
Okay.
Yes.
And you heard the testimony of the gentleman previously. At some point, did they do an X-ray on your arm?
Yes.
And when was that?
It might have been February 3rd. No, that was the day I moved. It's shortly after February 3rd. I don't know the date.
Was it after you were removed and placed in protective custody?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Has the Tylenol helped with the pain that you're experiencing?
No.
After they performed the X-ray, were you called back into the medical unit?
It was for another reason, but they did call me, and they told me that that the X-ray showed no fracture.
Okay, no fracture. That's what they were looking for?
That's what they were looking for.
Okay. Did they offer any type of physical therapy for your shoulder, anything at all?
No. I asked if they could do anything for it, and they said no.
Okay.
Tylenol.
All right. Do you have any other medical conditions that you wanted us to address in the bond hearing that you're suffering from?
So I have a hearing issue.
Okay.
I have a problem. I evidently have very narrow ear canals, and so the wax builds up in my ears to the point that, I mean, I have officers that say to me, "Are you deaf, Adelson?" When I don't respond to them, it's because I don't hear them. And so I did ask for help in the, I asked the doctor if there was anything they could do for me, and I told her what's normally done, and she said, we use Debrox to soften the wax, and then you come down 3 or 4 days later, and we use a bulb syringe to remove it. And I said, that doesn't work. I need a different procedure. And she said, that's all we can do for you.
Okay. And did you know, based on your prior treatment before you came into the Leon County Jail, that it required something other than the flushing system?
Yes, I did know.
Do you recall the name of the doctor that you saw for this condition?
Yes, I've seen him for years. Dr. Molina.
Okay. And Dr. Molina, how long do you think that you saw him for this condition prior to your incarceration?
I mean, several years.
Okay.
4 years, 5 years, I don't know.
Okay, and during the course of his treatment for you, how often would you go to have the wax removed from your small ear canals?
Yeah, every 3 to 4 months. If I waited longer than that, I couldn't hear.
Okay, and did he use a flushing method, or did he do something different?
No.
What did he do?
He used some kind of, I don't know what it's called, but it's some kind of an electronic device that he puts one end in my ear, and he's able to remove the wax using that device,
okay.
Medical device.
And in your experience prior to incarceration, when you were having that procedure done, did your hearing improve?
Immediately.
Okay.
Yeah, immediately.
May I approach the witness, Sean?
You may.
Mrs. Adelson, I've shown you what the defense has marked as Defense Exhibit 1 for purposes of this hearing, and it's a report from Dr. Molina, your doctor. Could you review that just to yourself for a moment? Okay. Does that describe the treatment that he was providing to you?
Yes.
Okay, and it includes a recommendation that you continue to receive the same treatment, potentially with another ENT in Tallahassee. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. This time the defense would offer Defense Exhibit 1 into evidence.
Any objections to Defense 1?
No, sir.
Defense 1 is admitted.
Yeah,
for sure. You may. Thank you.
During the time that you have, without disclosing any of the conversations, of course, but during the course of the time that you have met with counsel at the jail, have you had difficulty hearing us while we're trying to discuss your case with us?
Yes.
And what about over the telephone? Are you experiencing difficulty hearing us in that way?
Yeah, the telephone is a problem.
Okay. Have you actually gotten in trouble by some of the guards at the jail because they've instructed you to do something and you weren't able to hear them?
Yes.
Has that happened on more than one occasion?
It's happened on several occasions.
Okay. And have you experienced over the course of your incarceration that your hearing is getting worse and worse?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. This is not a significant, I'm going to move on to something else now, and this is not a significant injury, but I did want to address this with respect to the type of medical care that you are getting at the jail. Did something happen to you recently where you cut your arm?
Yes.
Okay. Tell the court what happened, please.
So I was walking past the washing machine on my way to the restroom, and I bumped into the there's like a metal bracket that holds the washing machine in place, I guess, and it was my fault. I bumped into it.
And what happened?
So I cut my arm pretty badly.
So what did you do after you cut your arm?
So the timing was it's kind of interesting because the med nurse was there doing morning meds. So I got onto the the bleeding wouldn't stop. It was just pouring out. And so I figured I'll get on the line with the other girls and I'll speak to the med nurse. So I waited my turn and I got to the med nurse and she says, "Whoa, what happened to you?" And I said, "My fault. I just bumped into the washing machine and I cut myself." So she looked at it and she said, "Yeah, that's a problem." I said, "Yeah, can I get a Band-Aid or gauze or something, some antibiotic cream?" She said, "Yeah, I don't have any antibiotic cream and I don't have a Band-Aid." So I looked at her and I said, "Well, what should I do?" She says, "Well, why don't you use your toilet paper and put it on there?" And I said, "But it's gushing. I can't put toilet paper on there." So one of the girls saw me and she said, "Oh my God." And she came running over and she opens up a sanitary napkin and she put it on there so that, and it was filling the sanitary napkin with blood. And so another girl came over, she took the bloodied one away and she gave me hers too. And I was applying that. So I said to the nurse again, "We're not going to be able to stop it holding this. Isn't there something you can do?" She says, "The best I could offer you would be to fill out a medical request form." So I said, "You want me to do that now?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Okay, can I have a medical request form?" She says, "Oh, I don't have any." I said, "Well, what am I supposed to do?" And she said, "I don't know what to tell you." She says, "Maybe the night nurse will have that."
Okay. So this was just a couple of days before you were transferred to protective custody, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Do you recall that it was on Saturday, the 1st of February?
It was a Saturday morning, yes.
Okay. Yes. And so about what time of morning would this have been if this was the morning med nurse?
It could have been 9 or 10, okay. Somewhere in the morning.
Okay. And when she told you that she didn't have any sick call forms for you to request a Band-Aid and you would need to get it from the night nurse, approximately what time does the night nurse come?
So the night nurse comes anywhere from 11:30 to 2:30 in the morning.
11:30 p.m. To what time?
2:30 a.m.
To 2:30 a.m.
Right.
And in the meantime, you were supposed to use the feminine pads?
I called my husband. He told me to elevate my arm, to wash it, to try to wash it frequently, just to keep my arm up. And that's what I did. And what girl brought over toilet paper, but that was sticking to the wound, so that wasn't good. So I kept borrowing sanitary pads to hold it.
Okay. And at some point, did the night nurse come?
Yes, she came that night.
Okay. And what happened when she got there?
She didn't have a Band-Aid either.
Okay.
She didn't have antibiotic ointment either. And I said, "This has been going on since early this morning."
Judge, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just turned around and noticed that some of the state's witnesses have reentered the courtroom. We had previously invoked the rule for the bond proceeding.
All right. For anyone who is here to testify concerning bond, please step outside the courtroom. Ms. Dugan, is any witness you're intending to call currently in the courtroom?
I don't see any. I'm calling Ms. Wilson and Deputy Collins.
Please continue with your examination, Ms. Fulford.
Thank you. So the night nurse came, and the night nurse didn't have a Band-Aid either?
No antibiotic, no Band-Aid, and no the form that I was told to ask her for, the sick call form. She said, "I don't have them. We haven't had them in a while."
The night nurse?
The night nurse.
So how were you supposed to request, according to the night nurse then, how were you supposed to request assistance?
So I was actually fortunate because there was a sergeant with the night nurse. She accompanies the nurse when she comes there, and she took a look at what I looked like, and the night nurse said, "Yeah, that's a problem." And so the sergeant said, "I'm going to make sure you get a Band-Aid, and I'm going to make sure you get a form. You'll get it by tomorrow. When I go back with the night nurse, I'll run some off on the machine, some copies, and I'm going to make sure that you get it."
And did she?
The next morning.
Okay.
The next morning I got it.
From the sergeant?
From the sergeant, yes.
Okay. You got the Band-Aid and the call nurse.
Yes.
Call form.
The call form. Okay.
May I approach the witness, Your Honor?
You may.
Yeah. Sadelson, I'm showing you what the defense has marked as Defense Exhibit 2. Do you recognize what's in that photograph?
Yeah.
And what is that?
That's a few days after... after I got cut, and that's the clear Band-Aid that they gave me to put on top.
Okay. After you got the bandage to put on over your wound, did you get additional medical treatment for the wound?
So, no. Not then. About, I don't know how many days later, but when I went down to medical a few days later, they said, how long are you wearing this bandage? And I said, I don't know, 4 or 5 days, whatever it had been. And they said, this should have been cleaned and changed every day. Why didn't you have that done? I said, I don't know. This is what they gave me to put on, and that's what I did.
Okay. The photograph, does that truly and accurately depict what your injury looked like the few days after it occurred with the bandage on it?
That's what it looked like.
The defense would offer Exhibit 2 into evidence?
Any objection to Defense 2?
No, sir.
May I approach?
You may.
And at this follow-up visit, then, did they change your bandage and clean the wound?
They cleaned it, and they put antibiotic cream on it, and okay. They changed it, yes.
And did you get any additional treatment for the wound?
No.
Did you request that you get a tetanus shot?
My husband said, Donna, if there was rust on that metal, which there was, he said, you should ask for a tetanus shot.
And so did you request it?
So I requested it, and they did give it to me.
Okay. And then, as far as your medical conditions go, the last thing I want to talk about is something that I would give two different descriptions of, but I'm just asking the questions. You're the one providing the information to the court in your testimony.
Okay.
So this shortness of breath or heavy breathing that you're experiencing, right. How long has that been going on?
It's been going on several months, probably at least 3 months, I would think.
Okay. And did it... You're experiencing it then during your incarceration. Did you have it prior to being incarcerated?
No, I did not.
Okay. What have you noticed about the breathing and how would you describe it? Shortness of breath, heavy breathing, what?
I know. I guess it sounds like heavy breathing. It's shortness of breath. I've never had that before. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I've gained more than a third of my body weight here. The diet is all carbs, no protein, and... you know, when you get spaghetti with mashed potatoes, cornbread, and white bread, that's your dinner. It's very typical of what we get. And we have had no exercise at all. We're confined, especially in the annex. The annex, we've been confined to our beds almost all the time. Once in a while, we get a pod officer that lets us walk, so you can walk in a circle around the girls' beds. But otherwise, there's no... I mean, even if you want to get off your bed and just try to, like, do stretches or wall push-ups or anything, she says, this is not an exercise room. There's no exercising here. We don't get taken outside.
Let me stop you. One of these issues at a time. So with respect to the time period when you've been in the annex, which was from August of 24 until recently, February of 2025, was it your understanding you're supposed to be taken outside a certain number of times?
Well, the inmate handbook says you get a minimum of 3 hours of outside time per day. Per week.
Okay. And during your time in the annex, did you experience a week where you got 3 hours of time outside?
We haven't gotten 3 hours in 6 months.
Okay. How many times did you go outside while you were in the annex?
Before you continue, Mrs. Adelson.
Yes.
We have 30 minutes left in the hearing, Ms. Fulford. I understand your client is disputing the adequacy of the care. We do need to move to the most pertinent matters. Please continue.
Okay. We're going to move off of that then. I do want to talk to you then about some physical issues that have taken place in the jail. The first one I want to talk about is an incident that took place in the shower, and we're going to do this one briefly. I'm sorry, how much time did you say we had, Judge?
30 more minutes.
Including argument?
Not including argument.
Okay. All right. So the first incident that took place in the shower, could you just briefly describe to the judge what happened there?
Yeah. So there are seven shower heads, but I always take the same one because it's off in a corner, so I have a little bit more privacy than you'd have at the other ones. And so I would always shower there, and I was under the shower, and I was washing my hair, and I was the only one in the shower. I always go in early morning because there's nobody there. Most of the girls sleep, so I take a shower and I have a little privacy. And so I was washing my hair, and all of a sudden I felt a hand go up my back, like from the top of my butt up my back, and I yelled, "Stop it!" And I turned, and this girl said, "You like it?" And I said, "Get out of here!" And I started to scream, and she ran.
Okay, in the bathroom there. What was this? Which pod was this in?
This is in the annex.
In the annex. Okay, in the annex. Are there guards positioned inside the area where you shower?
No.
Inside the area where you use the restroom?
No.
Okay. All right. The next thing I want to talk about is what transpired in October of, thank you, October of 2024, where you had said previously you were attacked. What were you doing? Where were you at, first of all, when that took place?
In October. So I was in the bathroom. It's 10:30 at night. I went in to brush my teeth.
Okay.
There are three sink stations in the bathroom. Each one has four sinks. And I was at the center station with my back to the door. And I'm a righty, so I was holding my toothbrush with my right hand. And I was balancing myself with my left hand on the sink. I was just brushing my teeth. That's all I was doing.
And what happened?
And someone came up behind me and pulled my left hand away from the sink and twisted my arm and, like, jerked it behind my back, like, reaching up toward my neck.
Okay.
And so...
Did it hurt?
Yeah, it hurt.
Okay. What happened?
It hurt. And I said, "What are you doing?" And she's in the same breath that she did that with my arm, she said, "You're going to buy me commissary." I said, "I'm going to what?" And she said, "Unless you want those pretty white teeth knocked out of your mouth, you're going to buy me commissary." So I said, okay. And then she named a package that she wanted, and she's out. She was gone. She was just that fast.
Okay. How bad would you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad would you rate the pain at the time that she did that to you?
Oh, my God. It was a 10.
Okay.
I didn't know my arm could reach that far back.
Okay. And what did you do after she did that to you?
So, kind of stood there for a minute, and then I just thought, okay, I'm going to go back to my bunk. And I went back to my bunk, and I got under the covers, and I cried. I just stayed under my covers. Okay. I didn't come out.
Okay. During your entire time in the annex, did this particular inmate remain confined in that area with you?
She was in the annex the whole time.
Okay. And I know that you don't want to talk about who did this to you, because why? Why don't you want to disclose who it was?
There's one thing I've learned since I'm there. Is you don't, and the word is snitch, you don't snitch, you don't tell on anyone because you'll be sorry you did. And I've seen that. And so I didn't even tell you for a while. I wasn't going to tell anybody. I didn't want to tell anybody. I didn't want, she's a big woman, and I was afraid of her.
Okay. Approximately how tall would you say she is compared to you?
over 6 feet, okay. over 200 pounds. She's okay. a very large woman.
Okay. Were you afraid of her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was after that.
Okay. And you said that she demanded that you were going to start getting our weekly commissary. Did you do that?
Yes.
Okay. Let me, can I have just one moment, Judge?
Go ahead.
Your Honor, in order to move this along a little more promptly, I've requested of the state, and they have no objection. At this time, I'm going to offer into evidence State's Exhibit Number 3. I said state by mistake. Defense Exhibit Number 3, Defense Exhibit Number 4, and Defense Exhibit Number 5.
Okay. No objection, Mr. Duggan.
No.
May I?
They are admitted. Thank you.
Ms. Adelson, prior to ordering a commissary for this this woman who attacked you, were you getting commissary for yourself?
So I have an account, and you can buy up to $40 a week of food. And so I use that account to buy food, but not what she wants. If she wants it, packages.
Okay, let's make sure the court understands. When you say buy food, is there normal commissary through the jail where you were getting your commissary?
Yes.
Okay, and that's what you were spending $40 a week on for yourself?
Yes.
Okay, and what kind of items you're buying for yourself off of that?
I try to get some protein. I buy tuna fish with mayonnaise and
substitute meals, if you will?
Yes.
Okay, no noodles of any kind?
No.
Okay, all right. Now, is there a separate way that you can order commissary on the outside for inmates?
Yeah, okay. I can't do that. That would have to be ordered from somebody. You have to ask somebody on the outside to place the order.
Okay, and when you referred to packages, is that the method that the woman who attacked you said she wanted you to get for
That's
her?
That's what she asked me to get her, yes.
Okay, and these packages cost about $40 each, is that correct?
$40 and then $10 for packaging or shipping, so it's $50 a package.
Okay, and during the course of your time in the annex, while you were still in the annex, on just about every week, did she continue to find you in the bathroom and demand what packages that you would get ordered for her?
Yes, she must have been keeping an eye on me, but when I was in the bath, those are the only times she would approach me is in the bathroom, and she would tell me what she wanted for that week.
And did you make those orders through your husband?
I called my husband. I didn't tell him what happened. I just called him and said, you know, honey, I want some extra food. Would you mind ordering some packages for me? And he said, sure, honey. And okay. He did.
And he did that. And at the time that you were your normal canteen or commissary would be delivered, is that when the extra packages would be delivered as
yes.
well?
Yes, yes, all at the same time.
Okay, and in the course of things, you would go pick up your canteen and then her extra packages,
yes.
is that right?
Yes.
And where did you keep her items when you got back to the annex?
So it was, you have to carry your bin up, and they put the package, they open up a plastic bag and they loosely put all the stuff in the bin, so it was all in a bin that I would take back and put under my bed.
Okay, and did you keep her eye care packages separated from your canteen?
Yes.
Okay, and how is it that she would receive her packages? How did she get the food?
So she would send, I used to say her minions, she was just pick different girls to come over to me, and they would say, package up 4 soups and 3 bags of chips. And the first time, I didn't know what she wanted me to do, and she said, it's for, and she mentioned her name. I said, well, how am I supposed to do that? She said, just put it in your shirt. I'll meet you in the bathroom. So I would load these things in the top of my shirt, and I would hold the bottom of my shirt like this so that nothing would fall out, and I'd go to the bathroom, and then somebody would follow me in there, and she would take it out, transfer it into her shirt, and walk away.
And that continued from the time that she first yanked your arm behind your back in October all the way until you were put into protective custody.
Yes,
is that right?
Yes.
Okay. When you got into protective custody, in fact, did you receive your last packages for her?
So the last package came. I was put into protective custody on a Monday, and Tuesday the commissary came with those packages and brought them to me.
Okay. And do you have that extra food in your protective custody room now?
They're sitting there. I don't eat that stuff, so it's all sitting on top of my bunk.
It's made up of noodles and chips and things of that nature. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. I want to talk briefly about your time in protective custody. How big is the room that you're in?
6 by 9.
Okay. And are you in this room by yourself?
Yes.
And is the door, with the exception of when they allow you to come out, is the door kept closed all of the time?
It's supposed to be kept closed.
Okay. All right. And you're given, I'm kind of leading here, Judge, to try and get us through this, but you're allowed to come out of that room 1 hour per day on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you get to come out for 20 minutes. Is that right?
20 minutes.
Okay. And on the weekends, you don't get to come out?
Not at all.
Okay. Make sure you don't talk over me, okay?
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We're talking over each other.
Okay. I'm sorry.
So Saturday and Sunday, you don't come out at all. During your hour 3 days a week and your 20 minutes 2 days a week, is that when you are given the opportunity to take a shower?
Yes.
If you have time to walk, that's when you walk?
So on an hour's day, I'll walk for 40 minutes or about, and then I'll take my shower at the end of that, so I get my shower in.
Okay, and laundry also. That's what you use that
all
time
of that,
for.
Yes.
Other than that, you're locked inside that room.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now, it was your understanding when you were put into protective custody that there's not ever supposed to be anybody out around you. Is that right?
That's what I was told.
Okay, but protective custody is actually attached to a pod, is it not?
Yes.
And what pod is that?
M-pod, like Mary.
Okay. At some point, did you learn that this individual who attacked you was also, at least for some period of time, in that same area?
Not sure. I'm not sure where she was. She might have been.
Okay.
I didn't see her.
You didn't see her.
I
okay.
heard that she was there, but I didn't see her.
Okay. Now, you have testified earlier that different guards have kind of different rules that they follow inside the jail. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say.
Okay. During the time that you've been in protective custody, when you were told you should not be around anyone else in the pod or otherwise, have there been times when guards would have you around other inmates?
Yes.
Okay. In fact, was there an occasion where another girl came and knocked on your door wanting you to give her food?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, okay. And what happened when you said you would give her food?
I said, I have all that extra food. I don't mind giving it to people.
So. Okay. And so how are you going to give it to her?
Well, that's what I said to her. How am I going to get this to you? And so she gave the guard a high sign, and the guard buzzed the door open, and it was there was her and a friend of hers, the two of them, and they only stepped in my room like a foot, came in, and I gave them some soups.
Okay. Is that the only time that you've been around other people since you've been put in protective custody, or have there been other sorts of situations?
There have been other times. Like yesterday, the officer buzzed my door, so I guess there was something she wanted me to do, so I opened my door, and I came out, and there were maybe, I don't know, half a dozen girls watching TV. I walked past them, and I asked the officer, "What did you want?" And she said, "Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Adelson, I didn't mean to buzz you. Just go back to your room." I said, "Okay." So
okay.
I turned around and went back.
Okay. We have to move around a little bit faster here. So one of the things that's been a big issue for you is lack of sleep. So we're going to just kind of go through this quickly for the court. But you testified previously that the nighttime medications come between 11:30 p.m. and 1:30 or 2 a.m. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And part of the nighttime medications that you get, is there something in there to assist you to go to sleep?
Yes.
Okay. And then you get the medication. About how long after that is it before you can go to sleep?
From the time I get it, probably a half hour.
Okay. All right. And what time are you woken up for breakfast?
Between 3 and 3:30. Okay. Last night was 3:10. Just within that half hour range is when it comes.
Okay. And once you're woken up for breakfast, are you capable of going back to sleep?
No.
Have you tried to go back to sleep?
Oh, my God. Yes, I try.
So that period of that block of time that you get from the time you fall asleep after your night meds until you're woken up for breakfast, that's the only sleep that you're getting while you're incarcerated?
That's it.
How has that affected you?
So, listen, I know older people don't need as much sleep as younger people, but I need more than 2 hours a night. I need more than a good night is three. One night I had 3.5 hours. It's not enough sleep to state to stay focused. I mean, I feel like I'm foggy sometimes because I'm sleepy, I'm tired, and I can't go to sleep. They've got people screaming and yelling. They bang on the doors, they shake the doors. It sounds like a drum in there. It's horrible. So I can't sleep with all that noise going on.
Okay. Do you have legal documents that we have provided to you or prior counsel has provided to you that you need to review to assist in the preparation of your defense?
Say that to me again.
Sure. Do you keep legal documents with you that you're supposed to be reviewing to assist to prepare for your defense?
Sure. I've got two bins full of them.
Okay. Are you having difficulty completing the tasks that we're asking you to do because of your lack of sleep?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I want to talk to you for just a second. You're able to make calls to your lawyers off of your tablet, correct?
Yes.
And those are supposed to be attorney-client privilege calls, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and they're not recorded according to what's said on the recording when you make the calls, is that
right?
That's right. Okay. During the time that you were in the annex, were you in a situation where you could be away from everybody so that you could make those calls without anyone hearing?
No, I had to make the calls under my blanket because you couldn't hear me. I certainly couldn't hear you. So I would go under my blanket with the tablet, and I would call you that way.
That didn't keep the other inmates who were standing right next to you from hearing.
It is what it is.
Okay. Was there a time when you and I were speaking, and when you pulled the cover back, there was actually a guard there listening to your call?
Yes, there was.
Okay. And during the time that you and I are having conversations, do you also experience the same kind of problems with the phone that you had heard that Charlie had while talking to you, where the calls are dropped, etc.?
We've had it numerous times.
Okay. Are there times where we're not able to hear each other on phone calls?
Yes.
Is there static on the phone calls?
It's static, and now you've been complaining because I have this shortness of breath, so I'm breathing very heavy, and it's hard to hear me.
Okay.
So it's difficult.
All right. Let me ask you a few questions. We're requesting that His Honor allow you to be out on bond pending your trial so that you can assist in the preparation of your defense. If His Honor ordered that you reside here in Leon County and not leave Leon County until the conclusion of the trial, would you agree to do that?
Yes, of course.
If he placed you on an electronic monitor, would you agree to take that?
Yes.
Okay. If he required that you have a curfew from 7 o'clock at night until 7 o'clock in the morning, would you comply with the curfew?
I would do that.
Do you have the ability to do these things?
Yes.
Okay. You have the ability to get housing here in Tallahassee where you could live with your husband?
Sure.
Okay. And if he said that, you know, you can leave outside of the curfew, you can leave to go meet with your lawyers, medical appointments if you need medical appointments, coming to court, those type of things, would you comply with those orders as well?
Yes, I'd be grateful just to get a night's sleep. It would be great.
Okay. If he ordered that you had to surrender your driver's license during the pendency of from now until the end of the trial and not drive, would you agree to comply with that?
Yes, I would.
Have just one moment, please. I had asked this, but I might not have. For the medical conditions that you have complained of during the time that you were speaking with the doctors and they said that they didn't give you the treatments that you were requesting, did they ever offer that they would have a doctor from the outside perform the treatment for you?
No.
I don't have anything further.
It's given cross-examination.
Yes, sir. So the incident in the shower, after you let the inmate know that you did not like what she was doing by telling her to stop, did she ever try that again?
No.
And that inmate's no longer, or you didn't disclose the name of that inmate, but you did tell the investigator that that inmate is no longer in jail with you, right?
She's no longer there. She left shortly after that.
Okay. As far as the arm twist incident from October of 2024, you said you reported that in February of 2025?
Yes.
Okay. And you wouldn't give the name, you said you wouldn't give the name of her to the investigator either, okay?
No.
But you do know that if you would give her name, that instead of you being separated from the pod, she could be separated from you and you could be back with the general population.
Yeah, but she's not the only one that could hurt me. That's why I wouldn't do it. She had a half a dozen girls that came up to me.
Was there ever any physical violence by her or anyone she's friends with after that October 24 incident?
No, that was it. That's it.
And by being in solitary confinement, does it give you an opportunity to have a quieter space where you can prepare for trial?
Well, I guess it would be a quiet space if I could get some sleep and I would be able to concentrate on what I'm supposed to do. Yes, that would be helpful.
Do you also get in-person visits with your attorney in jail?
I do.
Okay, and when that happens, are you in a room alone with him or her or both?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And y'all are able to have conversations then that are private?
Yes.
For the sciatic nerve, in December of 2024, were you offered a solumedrol, a steroid injection for that pain that you declined?
I am going to object to the use of the medical records by the state based on a prior objection.
Ms. Sturgeon, do you have an ability to show that these records were not a part of what was obtained by Investigator Newlin that is still disputed?
No, these are part of what was obtained by Investigator Newlin, but my understanding is that the defense would have opened the door to this by asking her about all of these times she was seen by medical staff and what basically was not done for her.
As to that, I will permit the witness to answer. You may answer, Ms. Adelson.
Could you ask me one more time?
Yes, ma'am. For the sciatic pain that radiates down your right leg, were you offered a solumedrol, a steroid injection, and then after that, a Medrol, so a steroid dose pack, that you declined until you were able to speak with your physician?
No. I told her that in the past I had gotten a steroid injection in my spine, and she said, we don't do that. I could offer you, and it was a Medrol dose pack, I think.
A solumedrol injection.
I can offer you that, but we don't do that. And having had sciatica twice in my lifetime, I know what's been done each time, and I know that worked. And so she said, we can't do that. We don't offer that. You would need to see a specialist for that.
Okay. I'm going to show you this page. I'm looking at the encounter from December 13th, 2024 at 3:22 p.m. Mm-hmm. Say offered patient a solumedrol injection and then starting tomorrow a Medrol dose pack. Patient requests to decline until she can speak with her physician.
Yeah, I don't know what a solumedrol injection, but she told me they don't give steroidal injections in the spine. She says we don't do that. And I don't recall her offering an injection. I do remember she said I could give you other medication. But I've been there. I've done that. I know what happens with sciatica, and I know what needs to be done. That's not going to be the answer.
For your arm and shoulder pain, isn't it true that you reported you had mild pain in your left arm and shoulder?
No, I heard that gentleman say that before. I couldn't believe it. I told her that I had severe burning pain down the outer part of my arm. I never used the word mild pain, so I don't know where they got that from, but that's not what I said.
Okay. I'm going to show you the encounter from February 3rd, 2025 at 2:29 p.m. under musculoskeletal, as it say, positive for left upper extremity limited ROM range of motion, comma, mild pain.
That's what it says, but that's not what I said. No way is that pain mild.
So that's just what the doctor would have written down, but you're saying that's not what you told doctor or nurse?
I did, you know. Had that been given to me and I read it and I had to sign it, I would say I never said this. But I'm telling you, I never said mild pain.
Okay.
It's shooting hot pain down my arm.
For that injury, you did have an X-ray and they did go over that X-ray with you and let you know that there was no fracture or dislocation.
There was no fracture. That's what she told me. I didn't think it was a fracture. No.
Or dislocation of your shoulder or arm?
No, there's just pain.
And they also went over your chest x-ray results with you to let you know that your chest x-ray appeared clear?
Yes.
Okay. You ultimately received the Band-Aid and Neosporin for the cut on your elbow?
Yes, I got that on Saturday. When did I get that? On Monday.
Okay, so within a day or two of the cut occurring?
Yes.
And you said that if you are given a bond, you will reside in Tallahassee, you will follow court orders. But when you were afraid of being arrested right after Charlie Adelson's trial, isn't it true that you hoped that you could get to the airport before you were arrested?
I wasn't afraid of being arrested.
What were you trying to get to the airport in time for? In that jail?
My husband and I were literally shocked and traumatized at what had happened to Charlie. And he said, we need to just get some peace. We need to catch our breath. We're going to go away somewhere. And I thought it was a good idea because I couldn't think straight. I really couldn't think straight. I was so upset, and so was he. And it was his idea. He said, sweetheart, let's go just get away. We're going to just get away somewhere so we can have some time to think.
Okay, so your testimony is that you weren't trying to go to Vietnam because you wouldn't be able to be extradited from there.
So my husband actually had said, you know, we've been to Vietnam before with friends. We were on vacation, and it really was like a place of peace. And so he said, if we go to a non-extradition country, then if the law enforcement decided that they wanted to arrest you or me, whatever, both, he said, we won't be sitting in a foreign prison waiting months to go back. We can buy a ticket and we can go home. And my understanding was that I could go home and I could turn myself in if that's what they wanted.
Okay. But you were hoping to make it out of America in time before you were arrested, right?
I wanted to get away. He wanted to get away. That's what we wanted to do. And it wasn't... We spoke to our attorneys. I asked them. They said there's no pending. We purposely called them to make sure it was legal to do it. And they said there's no, what were their words? There's no pending charges and there's no warrants. So you want to go? Go. And so I thought you ask your attorneys and they tell you that. I'm going.
But Dan did tell you, as you say in the jail call, knowing what they're thinking up there, I don't know if you'll make it out in time. I really don't. But he said you might, or you might get to the airport and they'll stop you. It could happen.
That's what he said.
Right. So you went to the airport knowing that it could happen. They could stop you at the airport. You could end up being arrested.
Yeah, that's what Dan said.
Right. And when you were looking at places to go those couple of days after Charlie Adelson's trial, you were specifically looking, though, for countries that did not have extradition with the U.S.
For the reason I just told you.
Right. And the reason that you're saying that you were looking for countries with no extradition was so that you could get back faster in order to be arrested in the U.S.
No, that's not what I said. It's because, I don't know, maybe we watch too much TV or too many movies, but I've seen movies where people are stuck in, like, third world prisons and waiting and waiting and waiting. And my feeling was, this is not what we want to happen if the state says they want us to come back. We'll buy a ticket. We'll come back on our own terms. We don't have to be sitting in a jail somewhere. We'll come back home and turn ourselves in.
Couldn't you have done that no matter what country you went to?
No.
No?
No.
You couldn't have found out that you had a warrant for your arrest and come back if there was an extradition warrant?
Well, not if they would. I'm not in law enforcement, but it appears that they would notify law enforcement in that country, and then they could hold you in a jail for God knows how long. And I didn't want that to happen. So he said, well, that's why we'll do it this way, honey. That way, if they do notify us, so we get a phone call from our attorney or from law enforcement, then we'll buy a ticket, we'll go home.
Okay.
And so it would have been on our terms. That was the point. That was the reason that he thought that was a good idea.
And your testimony.
Before you continue, Ms. Dugan, we are over time. If you please can get your most pertinent questions.
Yes, sir. I guess your testimony ultimately, though, is that you were not trying to go to a country with no extradition because you were trying to avoid being held accountable for this charge. That's your testimony?
I didn't do this.
Okay.
Being held accountable for this. This is not what happened.
Being arrested for this case.
Being arrested?
Right. That was not what you were trying to avoid by trying to go to a non-extradition country.
We were trying to get our heads on straight and just breathe.
That's all that happened, yeah.
Any redirect examination for Mrs. Adelson?
Just one question, Judge.
You may proceed.
The testimony was you were offered an X-ray. You were never offered an MRI for your shoulder, were you?
No.
Thank you.
You may step down, Mrs. Adelson. Deputy, please assist her to her seat. Does the defense have any other...
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.